Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents Carrot Cake Murder, a Hannah Swenson mystery. Inside a building under construction, a man, a hoodie pulled over his head, scurries around as another man lies on the cement floor, a chain intertwined in his fingers. After prying open an elevator door, the hooded man drags the man's body over and heaves him into the elevator shaft. The body falls to the floor below. The man then tosses a tattered tarp covering the dead man's body. Taking flight, the killer hurries down the street, ducking into an alley to avoid a pedestrian. Slipping through the back door of a restaurant, he exits onto the street. A placard inside reads, Chameleon Bistro, grand opening July 24th, 1995. Flash to present day. Sign reads, Happy Birthday, Carrie. Hannah Swenson and her mother talk to a man in the bistro.
It's going to be a really good night. We've closed off the whole place for the party.
Oh, Eugene, you've gone all out.
Hey, nothing but the best for the Rhodes family.
Norman joins them.
I owe them.
Are you kidding me? Come on. If anything, I owe you.
You kidding me? His father gave me my first job.
Really?
True story. Now I was thinking we could set up the birthday cake right over here.
Great. Oh,
perfect.
And your mother's favorite is carrot cake, right?
Well, yours is. And it's a big birthday, so, you know, I want a big cake full of candles, because we all know she's turning...
What? No.
Mm-mm.
What?
Oh, Norman. You are such a dear man to want to celebrate your mother. It is a rare and admirable trait.
Dolores gazes at Hannah.
Whoops.
But there comes a timeless point in our lives when numbers are unnecessary.
Right.
Carrie does not need a forest of candles.
No, absolutely not. You know what? I just...
Reaching into her purse, Dolores produces a candle in a question mark shape.
Understated. A little mystery.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't like a little mystery, huh?
Oh, yeah. Do you just keep that in your purse all the time?
So I will pick up your mother tomorrow for our girls' night out.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dolores. It's 3 days before her birthday, so she should be surprised, right? I think.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll be here an hour before to help set up.
And we'll be ready.
Hannah helps her mother into her coat.
Bye, Norman.
Bye, Mother.
Moments later, Hannah walks outside with Norman.
Wow, you really wound my mother up. You did it on purpose, didn't you?
Maybe a little.
But she's right. You're doing a nice thing, Norman.
Oh, well, we don't get the family together nearly often enough, and I definitely don't see Eugene enough, so...
Oh, wow.
They come upon a crowd of protesters.
Wow, so this is the rally for this diner.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Norman spots Hannah's sister, Michelle, taking photos.
Michelle's back.
Oh, yeah. She just got back into town. She's looking for a place here so she can stay here in between jobs.
Huh. Detective Mike Kingston hops onto a bench to address the crowd.
Thank you. I hear you. Guess what? The Steiner lawyer and the developer are in court right now.
They never even gave a chance for local developers to put in a bid.
Yeah, they want to tear it down. We're trying to save this building.
Can't believe they're going to destroy this building.
Well, not if the committee has their way.
I hope so. Fingers crossed, right? I mean, it's the last Leo Steiner building in town.
Michelle approaches.
Hey.
I got here just in time for the fun.
So what's the word? Well, you're hearing it. Nobody trusts the developer, Wyatt Avery. Also, apparently he's a lousy tipper.
A woman replaces Mike on the bench.
Everyone, please! Hi, I'm Diana Graves, and I represent the committee to save the Steiner.
That's your Diana?
I don't know if we're there yet, but, yeah. Yeah, that's her.
The court has just issued an injunction, barring any further work being done until they're able to hear arguments about landmark status for this building. That hearing will take place in 2 weeks. Nothing can be done here until then. Right, Detective Kingston?
Yes, absolutely, everybody. You heard it here. Nothing is getting torn down today. That means you can all go home. Thank you so much, everybody. Great job.
Thank you. Now, please do come out to the hearing so that you can support the committee.
Michelle joins Mike's deputy.
Some rally.
Something.
Mike finds Hannah and Norman.
Hey, kids.
Hi.
Party planning?
Shh, the secret party we're planning.
Hey, Mike. Excuse me, guys.
Yeah.
Sure.
Bye.
Norman rushes to Diana's side.
Wait. That's Norman's Diana?
I mean, he says they're not there yet, but yeah.
They watch as Norman and Diana exchange cheery banter.
So tonight,
Only what, Doris?
Only you can make that sound good.
I'll do my best.
Later, Hannah works at her cookie jar bakery with Lisa.
We need 2 dozen red velvet cookies for Rhonda Scharf's Mahjong Club.
Already done. Thank you.
And I think that's it for the custom orders, so we should get the crew on the regular stock, because I'm working on that project we don't talk about.
Got it.
Norman appears with Diana. Putting down her rolling pin, Hannah rushes to the counter.
Hi.
I just turned around and you were gone.
Yeah, I had to get back to work. Hi.
Hannah holds out a flower-covered hand.
Sorry.
Diana, this is Hannah Swenson. Hannah Diana Graves.
I know you by reputation, of course. It's all good. And also, I am addicted to your deconstructed Rocky Road bars.
True story.
Thank you. Have a seat. I'll get you some.
They all sit at a table together.
You were so impressive out there dealing with the crowd today. Do you think you're going to be able to save the building?
As long as we can get it officially landmarked, which should have been done a really long time ago.
But Leo Steiner was a world-famous architect. It should be easy to get landmarked.
Normally it would be.
But
5-star renovations and equipment did the 1995 renovation, and it was really shoddy work.
Wow.
So there is a decent argument that it damaged the structure enough that the building needs to be taken down.
You took the case.
Well, I've never met a hopeless.
Gorman points at himself.
Well,
Norman.
After smiling affectionately at Norman, Diana looks Hannah in the eye.
I'll fight for it.
Hannah seems taken aback as Diana looks at her watch.
Speaking of, I have a brief to write.
Oh my gosh, and I have 2 cavities in the next 20 minutes.
All right. Yeah, bye.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for the brownie.
Yeah, anytime.
As Diana and Norman leave,
Rocky Road bars.
Michelle nearby.
She is
genuinely nice.
Yeah, I was gonna say smart and lovely.
Well, good for Norman.
Yes, it is. Who's gonna break it to Mom? I think it should be me.
Just be nice, okay? And gentle. Oh, wow, those are cool photos.
Thanks. I'm gonna print some of the best ones and make a carousel for the Eden Lake Sentinel's Instagram page. I think it should read, Rage in the Heartland. Struggle is real.
Nice people save famous old building.
Yeah, see, this is why you bake. It's no drama.
What? Clearly, you have never botched a carrot cake before.
Neither have you.
Later, Hannah bakes with Mike in her kitchen.
Michelle is right.
She preheats the oven.
I don't botch a cake these days. There's a precision to baking. Proportions have to be exact. You measure. When you find the right combination, the right proportion, the truth is you tend to stick with it.
Hannah and Mike share a smile.
And I love that certainty with baking. But once in a while, I really want to stretch. Be surprised. Try my hand at something completely new.
Hannah pulls carrot cake out of the oven. Later,
so good.
Mike eats salmon cakes at the table.
Can I take the rest of these for work tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Oh, not that one. Mike.
What happened there?
That one doesn't have seasoning. It's Moisha's.
Mm. Wait, what?
That's Moisha's plate.
Hannah holds her tabby.
Moisha has a plate?
He's been having a rough time lately.
Still jealous?
Mike pulls out his phone.
I gotta go.
But we just made dessert, Mike.
I know, it looks amazing, but, later.
They share an affectionate kiss. Mike peers at Moisha in Hannah's arms. Hannah comforts her cat.
Oh, I can explain. Mike is just learning, huh? And I promise you, he will never replace you. Go.
Extending a white paw, Moisha pushes away his plate. The cat then leaps off the table as Hannah looks dejectedly at the salmon cake.
I'll open some tuna.
The next day, a woman's toned legs stride down the sidewalk. Wearing her sparkly high heels and a black dress, Dolores smiles as she confidently steps into Eugene's Chameleon Bistro. The gang all spring out from hiding.
Wait.
Where's Mom? Is she on the way?
To Bimini.
Dolores pulls out a phone.
This explains it all.
Handing it to Norman.
Well, everyone, I have an announcement to make. It seems that our Carrie decided at the last minute to take a trip for her birthday. 8 days, 7 nights, 5 islands. But I am sure that I speak for her when I say she will be thrilled to see you here and that you all came to celebrate her. So, thank you very much. Enjoy.
Hannah rolls her eyes, yes. Putting a hand to her forehead as Norman takes Dolores by the hand.
This is so Carrie.
I know,
it?
Isn't it? You sure.
Norman
you.
Rejoins Diana.
So great and weird. Well, that is the last time I ever plan a surprise for anyone, ever.
Oh, I brought sorry. Some more from the kids.
Diana places her head on his chest.
Hey, guys. Eugene, Hannah, stop working this second, please. The party's started. Come on, I'm going to do a toast.
Oh, let me get a glass.
Hey, wine only for you, Eugene.
Don't worry, I'm not getting sick tonight.
What?
He spent New Year's Eve in the ER one time.
Yeah, I didn't know there was rye in the office party punch. It turns out I'm allergic.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Hey, do you remember Mom let me bring my lightsabers into the hospital room? Do you remember?
Yeah, you stood guard.
Oh, did I ever? Ben.
No one can come in.
Hey. I'm going to do a little toast here.
Oh, yeah, okay, let me.
Excuse me, everyone, can I have your attention real quick? I just want to give a quick toast to my mother, Carrie, who is the best, and let's face it, the only reason you all came this far to celebrate. May she continue to surprise us. may she stick around for another.
Dolores glares at him.
For many, many more birthdays to come, is what I was going to say. To Carrie.
To Carrie.
Hey, how you doing?
As Norman rejoins Diana, Dolores eyes them. Reaching out, she yanks on Hannah, pulling her close. Michelle comes between them. Michelle whispers in her mother's ear. Later, Norman helps carry bins to Hannah's car.
It's your party, Norman. You don't have to do this.
Oh, don't be silly. I don't mind at all. It's nice to get some fresh air anyway.
Grace under pressure. You really saved the night.
I think your mom's acceptance speech really set the tone.
Right. Well, you know, she can be...
As an explosion flashes in the building to their right, they rush into the Steiner building.
Hello?
Hello? Everybody okay?
Hello? Is there anyone here?
What was that? Was that an explosion?
Sure sounded like one.
Do you have a flashlight?
Oh, look, there's a light right here. Hello?
Did you see that? It's a light.
A flashlight beam.
Yeah, you're right. There is someone down there. Hey, is everybody okay?
Grabbing a flashlight himself, Norman follows Hannah to the stairwell.
Hello? Hello, is there anyone down there? Norman, what's that smell?
Oh, it smells like gunpowder.
Oh, look at all this smoke.
Yeah, this is definitely the source of the explosion.
Wow.
Careful, careful.
They enter a basement room cluttered with debris. They discover a huge hole blown through a cement wall.
What is that?
Probably the bottom of the elevator shaft, I think.
They both shine lights into the opening and peer inside.
No. Norman, what is that?
They look at each other gravely.
Whoa.
A human body lies on the floor, partially covered in a tarp. Later, Mike Kingston arrives, holding his phone.
Well, tell Avery that this is not a request, this is a summons.
His deputy, Lonnie, joins him.
So, an accident.
Well, we're not sure. I mean, there was explosives there. There was other stuff that we told Avery to move, and he didn't.
We'll make sure he's in for a clean tomorrow.
Nearby.
Hannah, do you want to sit down?
No, I want to listen.
Hannah moves closer as Mike and Lonnie continue.
We found bone fragments and remnants of a tarp around what was a body.
Any idea who it was?
Clothes were partially preserved. Found this.
Lonnie produces a driver's license in an evidence bag.
Jerry McDowell.
Hey, Mike? I also wanted to say that we saw a light downstairs.
Some of the workers' lights didn't blow.
No. It was moving around. There was definitely someone down there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, thanks. Well, let's look into that.
Will do.
Thanks, Lon.
Mike turns to Hannah.
I am probably going to be here for a while. Why don't you and Norman head out, and then you guys can come by the station and sign the statements tomorrow, okay?
We've got to find out who that guy is.
Well, I work with some people that can help with that. But I promise to keep you posted, okay?
Okay.
That's
good. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Do you remember the name Jerry McDowell?
At the municipal building, Mike briefs the sheriff.
Jerry McDowell was a thief.
I remember now. He was never violent, just a low-rent felon. He disappeared after Langley Jewelers was robbed out in Skelton. That was July 1995. Wow, my first year on the job. Everyone assumed he ran off, never came back.
Do you have any proof that he did it?
Well, we have it now. We found an antique brooch in his pocket. And here is the inventory from the Langer job.
I see.
Mike looks through it as they walk together.
Looks like the brooch was the most expensive thing taken that night.
Yeah, kept it separate, kept it for himself. What about everything else on that list that was never recovered?
Well, this is quite a list of missing items. Everything from a simple silver necklace to that brooch, so yeah. Where is everything else?
They didn't find any other jewelry with the body.
They approach a woman working.
Here, can you make 3 copies for me?
So, did he have an accomplice?
Jerry usually worked with someone, yeah.
Any suspects?
The statute of limitations has run on that burglary. The case is closed.
There's no time limit on murder charges.
So far, there's nothing to say it was.
Wait, are you saying the guy just fell asleep in the bottom of an elevator shaft?
No, but there's no damage to the skeleton that the ME can say happened before last night. Now, I talked to the DA about it first thing this morning. Without forensics, there's no way he can bring a case. We can't waste time or resources on a dead end. Find out what or who caused that explosion last night. That's the case you need to solve.
The sheriff walks away. Later, Mike visits Hannah at the bake shop.
What do you mean there's not going to be an investigation?
I think the man was murdered.
What does he think? That he just slipped and fell in an elevator and nobody noticed?
Hannah, I don't think that. Ealing doesn't think that. He just said the DA won't move on it. There's nothing to prove at this point.
What about his family? I mean, they're going to have questions.
Hannah, I'm the choir. I also have direct orders.
Okay, I get it. That means no murder investigation for you. But you can have a good
one. Yes.
Now, this guy, Jerry.
Oh, you're on a first-name basis with him now?
He was a human who happened to be a thief. That means that he had a police file.
Hannah?
What? It's a closed case, isn't it? And I'm a citizen. I have rights. I could file an open records request.
How do you even know about... Do you have any idea how long that can take?
Here you go.
Hannah hands Michelle coffee.
I do. And it would stink to have to wait that long.
Mike smiles warmly.
I take lunch at noon. Come and get me. I'll be busy. You can wait in my office right next to the stack of files on the left side of my desk.
Got it. Okay, I promise I won't do anything risky, and I won't get in your way. Oh, it's for you.
Thank you.
Here you go.
As Hannah refills the display case...
Hannah, you gotta tell me why.
Because I bumped into a skeleton last night, and I have questions. And Mike, that guy deserves justice. And you think so, too, because your mouth is doing that twitch thing.
What?
You want to know just as much as I do.
I do. So if you want to check it out, I'm not going to stop you.
You mean it? You mean that you're not going to hold back information and you're not going to scold me?
What? Yes, I mean it. But I'm curious, but I have to investigate Wyatt Avery and the explosion. You know that.
I'm going to need access to the crime scene.
And if you keep talking like that, I'm shutting this whole thing down.
Oh, you better get used to it.
Mm.
Because I'm just getting started. I have to get back to work.
Sure.
I love you.
Nighttime. Mike revisits the crime scene with Lonnie.
Over here is where the foreman said he was sure the blasting caps were stored securely. No way anything could happen.
Yeah, right.
But over here is where the fire marshal found trace evidence of the caps. Look at this.
They crouch to the floor.
Oh, blasting caps kept in a cardboard box. Definitely not secure.
And no evidence of a locked cabinet where the caps should have been stored.
The big question is, like, what set them off?
That. An old heater.
Fire marshal's gonna run some tests, but things older than dirt.
And if somebody left that plugged in anywhere near the blasting caps, then...
That's the marshal's theory.
Well, I think it's time you escort Mr. Avery in for a nice friendly interview.
Sure thing.
Okay.
Lonnie leaves.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Lonnie.
Hannah.
It's been secured and cleared by engineering. It's safe. Did you bring your own gloves?
Yeah, I got them from my kitchen. I use them when I'm peeling chilies.
Okay.
Same concept, right?
So here it is. This is your, crime scene.
Did you just do air quotes?
Maybe in my mind, yeah.
You don't take me seriously at all, do you?
I got you in here, didn't I?
Norman called me this morning.
Norman? Called you in the morning.
Diana has a whole file on 5-star renovations and equipment.
Oh, the company that did the 95 restoration.
And she said they're a pretty shifty bunch. And I think they put this elevator in.
Okay. All right, just don't pick up anything too heavy. Just be careful.
got it. I'll be careful.
Hannah steps through the hole in the concrete wall. A nearby construction trouble light provides illumination. Entering the dusty elevator shaft, Hannah crouches down and begins sifting through the chunks of shattered concrete. Holding several plastic evidence bags, Mike joins her. Lifting up one chunk, Mike makes a discovery.
Oh.
What?
Hello, 1995.
Is that a pager?
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking here.
Mike opens an evidence bag and Hannah tosses the pager in.
Just be a little bit more chance.
Okay, yeah.
Right. As time passes, the hunt continues.
Hey, what?
Hannah finds a set of keys.
Look.
Let's see.
Mike examines them.
Yeah, we might be able to pull some DNA or some prints off of those here. Just open that bag.
Could those be Jerry's keys?
Could be. I'll see if any of the workmen lost a set of keys, too. Yeah, good fire.
They share a smile. Then Hannah looks to her right.
Hey, what's this?
She holds a small strip of fabric.
What is that?
I'm not sure.
Mike takes it.
Maybe a piece of fabric or...
Hannah pulls out a chain.
Or a necklace from the robbery?
Hannah stretches it out.
I know. It's a belt loop, right? And then this would be a wallet chain?
Oh, yeah. I had one of those when I was 12. It was really hip.
No 12-year-old. We're hip, Mike.
Hannah drops the chain into another evidence bag before resuming the search.
Okay, maybe there's something.
Sometime later at the office, Mike reports to the sheriff.
Anything?
Well, Avery says he's got no idea how it happened. He was sure everything was stored correctly. If it was one of his employees, he'd file charges himself. What would he have to gain? Yada, yada, yada.
Is the building unstable?
Apparently no. It's okay.
Well, with this accident, there'll be injunctions and delays no matter what.
Agreed. And he doesn't strike me as being that short-sighted.
And just his luck, this explosion throws up a buried corpse.
Yeah. What are the odds?
Meanwhile, Hannah returns home, where Sister Michelle is eating a slice of carrot cake, a laptop to her left.
Hey, Michelle. Any luck finding a house?
No, not yet. Why? Do you want me out?
No, I love having my sister here with me.
Slipping off her jacket, Hannah spots wads of pillow stuffing scattered all over the living room floor. Moisha the cat shakes a piece in his mouth before looking up at Hannah.
Oh, for the record, I am not the one that tore up the pillow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured. It's the chaos is upsetting Moisha. You know, I'm out all the time lately. I'm engaged to another man. But we're working on it.
Well, whatever you're doing is clearly not working. What's all that?
These are the things we found at the crime scene. And this is the police file on Jerry.
This is the guy?
Yeah. Jerry McDowell. Look at that mugshot.
A bearded man.
So, what now?
I have no idea. But I'm going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
First, I have to figure out who Jerry was, right? Who he knew, who he was close to. Might have wanted to kill him.
As Hannah pours herself a cup of coffee, she pauses a moment.
Wonder if he was married.
Oh, I know that one. Shameless Hussy.
Is that a name?
It's all Vera ever called her.
And who is Vera?
Jerry's mom. According to Mrs. Hauser, Vera always blamed S.H. for Jerry becoming a degenerate gambler. And she was fooling around on him.
You got all this info without cookies?
No, we were in the cookie jar.
Well, that's great. Okay. Oh, it says here his wife's name was Julie. Do you know if she's still in town?
I do. She left town just after Jerry disappeared, and no one's heard from her since.
Wow.
Hannah looks through her papers.
Look at this.
Michelle stands up.
Look at this. She had Jerry declared dead 7 years to the day from when he disappeared.
Elsewhere, the sheriff visits Mike's office.
You took Hannah Swenson into that building.
Are you scolding me?
What's she doing? Wait, don't tell me. She's what? Investigating? Stop her.
Hannah has got a mind of her own. I couldn't stop her from asking questions if I wanted to.
You like your job? Keep her in line.
Back in Hannah's kitchen, Michelle holds another Lake Eden Police Department mugshot.
Who's this guy?
Travis Gardner. He and Jerry were arrested together twice before, both times for grand theft. And then
There was a robbery, July 15th, 1995. The police were convinced it was Travis and Jerry working together, but they couldn't prove it. Jerry had disappeared, and Travis had an alibi. It's funny, his face seems so familiar. Can I look at your photos from the Steiner rally?
Sure.
They moved to Michelle's laptop on the kitchen island. Hannah takes a bite of her sister's cake as Michelle pulls up the photos. Freezing, Hannah points at an older man on screen.
That's totally him. I mean, a little heavier, but definitely the same guy. I remember this guy. He was yelling something about no bid contracts.
So Jerry's last known accomplice is still living in town and hanging out at the Steiner building.
The sun rises on Lake Eden. Hannah carries a tray of cookies at the cookie jar as Lisa works nearby.
Can you believe this crazy weather?
Oh, and Lisa, I added raisin drops to the menu for the assisted living delivery tomorrow.
We still need two cakes for that. What are you thinking?
What about if we do the cocoa fudge? Crowd pleaser. And maybe we do the Scandinavian almond cakes and splitter?
Perfect.
Diana Graves enters.
Oh, hi, Diana. Free cookies for life for this.
Well, that's not a very good business plan.
Right.
Don't worry about it. In there are copies of everything I was able to pull on Five Star. I knew they were shoddy, but burying a body? I was finally able to get a full list of employees yesterday. It's in the back.
Wow. Okay, well, you have no idea how grateful I am for this cookie.
Always.
Outside, carrying a takeout pastry box from her shop, Hannah finds a locksmith's van parked along the roadside. Glancing towards the water, she spots a man sitting on a bench.
Hi, Pat. Hello.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Oh, listen, I'm sorry. I'm just finishing my lunch. I can help you in 20 minutes.
I'm so sorry to interrupt your lunch, but I do just have one quick question.
How did you find me?
Your assistant loves my raisin drops, and she reminded me how much you like the Viking bars.
She hands them over.
Oh, well, how can I help?
Okay, I found these keys, and I just wondered if you might tell me what that number on them is. Is that like a serial number?
If these are master keys, that might be the serial number. But if these are just regular house keys, that's the bidding number.
What's that?
The instructions for how to cut a duplicate, that's all. Sorry, Hannah.
Oh, no, that's okay. I mean, they're 25 years old. I couldn't
expect No, those keys aren't 25 years old.
Why not?
Look, here. See that? That's the WT. That's the manufacturer. It stands for Worrell Truman. And they went into business in, like, 2012.
2012? That means these keys.
At Mike's office.
These keys are not Jerry's. And they can't be the killers.
Where we found them and how dirty they were, it's not likely. It's the EMS team.
So maybe the workmen?
Or who sabotaged the building, if it was sabotage. Hey, good work.
You're welcome.
They leave the office.
Hey, your witness statement from the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Is all ready. Are we having dinner tonight?
Well, it depends on how the investigation goes. It might be late.
Really? Remember this moment the next time I'm working late, please. Are these peanut butter cookies?
I know my customers.
A brunette in her 40s approaches carrying papers.
Hello. Can I help you?
Yes. Is this a summons? Something about collecting my ex-husband's body?
Julia McDowell.
It's Julianne Carlson now. And please tell the sheriff that I want nothing to do with this.
I'm Detective Kingston. Wait right here. Both the sheriff and I would like to speak to you, okay?
As Mike walks away, Hannah turns to Julianne.
Miss Carlson.
I'm Hannah Swenson. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you, but it was a long time ago.
Right. Yeah, of course. I am. I'm the one who found his body. And listen, I'd really like to help find out what happened to Jerry.
Why does it matter now? Honestly, I do not have time for this, and I don't want it. It's not my problem.
Julianne leaves the summons on the counter and walks away. Grabbing a cookie box, Hannah follows.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make things worse.
You didn't.
Are you late for work?
No, I left a new girl in charge at my spa.
Oh, wow, you have a spa here?
No, in Howell. I left here to get a fresh start, and I don't want anything to do with my past, okay?
Well, it's great that you could start your own place.
Do you know how rough it was after Jerry left? I worked full-time at Pierre's salon and ran a cash register at night at a mini mart. I saved up.
I did, too. I have a bakery. They say chocolate is good for stress.
Julianne reaches for one of the chocolate cookies and takes a bite.
Mmm. Those are very good, thank you.
Oh, yeah, of
problem. Oh, it was such a big deal opening my own place. I was shaking when I signed the lease. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Oh, me too. I almost panicked.
It must be so tough to start over.
But I wasn't starting over. You have to understand, I had nothing before. And I've built a life for myself now. Look, whatever happened, Jerry was no victim. Okay, I mean, he was a nice enough guy most of the time, but he couldn't keep himself out of trouble.
Did he deserve to be murdered?
Is that what they're saying? The cops think he was murdered?
No, not exactly.
Right, okay, listen. You seem like a very nice woman, and I know that you're just trying to help. But Jerry's mom is gone. There is no family left. Nobody's been looking for Jerry for a very, very long time. You don't need to do this, okay? Thanks.
Munching on her cookie, Julianne heads down the stairs. Later, Mike finds Hannah at the cookie jar, poring over blueprints.
What's all this?
Well, I went to City Hall and got the blueprints for the Steiner building because I thought it would help me figure out what happened. And I have a whole file on Five Star.
It's a lot of paper.
So much paper.
You know, most investigators do work with some.
Well, I would love that. But I don't want to get you in trouble.
It's okay.
Mike takes off his coat.
What, really?
And takes a seat.
Okay.
So, the heist happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
Okay. Then they split up.
And they agreed to meet up at the Steiner building. So Jerry was there waiting to meet up with his accomplice.
Good. That's one very possible scenario. What's another?
Another one. He could have been killed somewhere else. And the killer brought his body to the Steiner building, threw it down an elevator shaft to hide it.
Smiling, Mike puts an arm around Hannah's shoulder. Outside.
Michelle just got the address for Travis, the accomplice. Hey, meet me at the Chameleon Bistro. I'm having lunch with Mom, and we can plot a strategy.
Dolores must be loving this.
Well, she doesn't really know about it yet.
So, what are the odds that there's an accidental explosion in the exact spot that hits a missing body?
It's like a bullseye, too. Which means...
either Avery did it and had incredibly bad luck.
Or whoever killed Jerry staged the explosion. But why would they do that? It just exposed the body.
Exposed the body first.
Right, because of the new construction, it was eventually going to be revealed. So maybe they wanted to get to it first. To what? To get it out of there, maybe?
Yeah, and if that's the case, then you interrupted them. So you gotta be careful.
Okay.
Okay. See you later.
As Hannah enters the Chameleon Bistro, someone watches them from across the street.
Hey, Eugene.
Hannah, hey.
Was the Chameleon Bistro open for business in July of 1995?
No, not yet.
Huh. But you were here getting it all ready?
Oh, sure. I'm sure I was.
Yeah. And did you get a look at that construction crew that was working on the Steiner building next door? Five-star renovation and equipment?
No, I had nothing to do with those guys.
Eugene moves away.
Really? Because someone told me that you worked as a security guard at the Steiner for Five Star.
I know. Come on, like I had time to look after that place. Look, I had my own business to get up and running.
Hannah follows Eugene as he serves patrons some water.
Did you ever see Jerry McDowell there?
What? Who? No, I didn't know that guy.
What about Travis Gardner?
That wasn't the crowd.
Which crowd?
Eugene looks at her.
Those, I heard about both of them. Hey, didn't they both go to jail or something together?
Yeah.
Eugene looks towards the door.
Your mom's here.
Dolores waves from the entrance.
Hannah!
Look, I'm sorry. Okay. I gotta get back to work.
Right, of course.
Later, Dolores sits with Hannah and Michelle.
Why are my daughters attracted to detectives?
And not dentists. Is it the danger, girls? If so, you have to fight that urge.
Hannah gives Dolores a look.
I told her about our double date stakeout with you and Mike and me and Lonnie.
Why would you do that? Look at her. She believes you. Mother, she is just making that up. She's yanking your chain.
Well, what am I supposed to think? And why are you in the middle of another murder case that you are trying to hide from me? You are avoiding commitment.
I don't do that. I mean, you're not married yet, which I do not understand.
Now?
It's just another terrible example you've set for me.
You can sleep on the porch tonight. She does make a very good point. Why do we never talk about the wedding?
We talk about the wedding. We're talking about it now. In fact, Michelle and I are going to a spa to see if it's right for the bridal party.
Party? As in multiple bridesmaids?
Sure.
Oh, well, can we talk colors and dresses?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it. Ooh, time and money saver. You can just have all the bridesmaids wear the same ugly bridesmaids' dresses that they made you wear to their weddings.
That is diabolical.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing matches?
Well, I kind of like that.
Oh, secondhand bridesmaids. Oh, Hannah, your priorities.
Dolores takes a sip of white wine.
Working on that, too.
Oh, and now she's crying.
This is all your fault.
Mother, stop it.
Carry on.
People can see you.
Let it out.
Hannah rolls her eyes. Elsewhere.
Hello, Eden Lake. It is time for Weather on the Five. Enjoy the sunshine today because it's going to be another wild weather week. The temperature drops throughout the day, snow and sleet tonight. Then 20 degrees warmer tomorrow. So clear.
Having parked her SUV in front of a modest lakeside home, Hannah gets out and looks around. Zipping her coat in the windy sunshine, she spots a man working on a small metal boat nearby.
Hello.
The man looks up, but remains focused on his work.
Working on some wiring, huh?
It's a boat. Always something to work on.
Right.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Are you Travis Gardner?
I am. What can I do for you?
Well, I was hoping you could help me solve a riddle. I'm sure you've heard by now that they found the body of Jerry McDowell. Actually, I'm the one who found him. I'm sure that must have come as quite a shock to you.
I haven't thought about him in years.
They found some jewelry with his body from the Landry theft. So now they know for sure that he was a part of that.
Using a ladder, Travis steps down to join Hannah.
I told the cops back then I had an alibi.
Right. It's in the case that you said you were at the movies and that you had a movie ticket stub to prove it.
And I still have the movie ticket stubs to prove it.
After all these years?
You're still here asking. Want to come in the house and see them?
Hannah takes a step back.
Nope. No, I'm good. I'm good.
I don't know what happened to Jerry. That's all I gotta say.
As Travis returns to his work, Hannah moves away. She pulls out her phone.
Hey!
I just got the ME report. Pant fragments found with Jerry's body were blue jeans.
The belt loop we found was definitely from a different kind of pants. They must have belonged to the killer.
Might belong.
Who else?
We don't know. That's all I'm saying. You gotta build these cases piece by piece.
Gardner's construction. You know what, Mike? I'm gonna call you back. Okay, bye.
In his office, Mike stares at his phone. Back at Travis's house, a bearded man in his 30s emerges from the truck.
Hi, I'm Hannah Swenson.
The cookie lady.
That's right, that's me.
She hands him some.
You're Joe Gardner?
Yeah. Dad doesn't have a sweet tooth, so I know you're not here delivering cookies.
Yes, I'm sure you've heard in the news. I'm the one who found Jerry McDowell's body.
And?
Well, I want to figure out what happened to him.
Dad doesn't have anything to do with it. He did his time back in the day, and he's lived a good life since, okay? Don't bother him.
I don't want to bother anyone. Your dad's lucky to have a son like you looking out for him.
Joe pulls out his phone.
Well, no more than he did for me. Dad pretty much raised me by himself. I was a handful. Got in a lot of trouble, but he never bailed. He was there. Did everything he could to keep me in line. That's who he is.
He bites into one of the cookies.
These are really good.
Thanks. Thanks. This is where you grew up?
No. Dad bought in 96.
Hannah looks at him.
He worked hard for it.
I saw him working on his boat.
He loves doing it. He gave me that one last year. Rebuilt it himself.
Wow. You must love it.
Yeah, I spend all my free time on it.
Your dad must be really proud of you.
I hope so.
Joe checks his phone.
You have a lot of people looking for you.
I got 10 projects going right now, so...
I get it.
Look, this is a good man, so... just please, leave my dad in peace. Chances are, if something happened to Jerry and the Steiner, it was an accident. You seen the bottom floor of that place? It was a mess even before the other night. Five Star was a lousy contractor.
Joe walks away, leaving Hannah with a thoughtful expression. Later, Hannah tries to open the Steiner building door.
Mike said it was... Oh, here we go.
Eugene approaches her from behind.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to stop you.
It's okay, Eugene. I'm sorry. I'm just a little jumpy. Do you want to come in for a cold?
Yeah, please.
They step into the building.
Whew. Thanks. I just want to apologize for being so short. It was a hard time for me back then getting the place ready. I was under a lot of the pressure.
Of course.
You know, open up the place and stuff.
Yeah. Down there is where I found his body.
She points towards the stairwell.
Should have never happened.
She turns to him.
What?
Look, Hannah, I need to tell you that.
Hannah, watch out!
The scaffold gives way and rocks tumble down on them. As dust rises up, they both lie in a heap on the floor. After the accident, Hannah lies amid bricks and rubble. She slowly lifts her head. She looks towards Eugene, lying still.
Eugene! Eugene! Oh! Oh, no! Oh, Eugene! Are you okay? Oh.
Hannah looks around frantically.
Eugene! I'm getting help. I'm gonna get help.
She pulls out her phone.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Sometime later, Hannah stands beside Eugene, lying unconscious in a hospital bed. A nurse adjusts one of the tubes attached to him, then turns to leave as Norman enters.
Norman, what did the doctor say?
Well, they induced a coma to help the swelling in his brain subside. Won't know anything for a while. I'm his emergency contact. They kept asking about next of kin and bugging me for insurance information before they do any more tests.
Oh, hey, what if he has, like, an insurance card?
Hannah pulls out Eugene's wallet.
Insurance card. But, oh, would a social security number help?
Yeah, I mean, good. Depending on who the carrier is.
Hannah looks up at Norman.
Do you know how to look up insurance?
Norman gawks at her, open-mouthed. A computer sits nearby.
Okay. He's in the Weill Proctor healthcare system. They have a nationwide database, so that's good. Wait a second. This can't be right. Eugene Crenshaw died 50 years ago in Madison, Wisconsin, when he was 3 years old.
No, there must be a mistake. Maybe there was a typo when you put in the...
Maybe. No, it's coming up the same. That's the...
Norman can only stare at the screen in disbelief.
Norman.
Okay, wait. I better, I'm gonna go take care of his hospital bill. I should just go let them know.
Norman... Are you okay?
I don't know.
I know I shouldn't say this. I mean, the man saved my life. But do we even know who Eugene really is?
She puts away his wallet.
I mean, he's Eugene. I don't know. He's been around all my life. He comes to Thanksgiving every year. He's the one who taught me how to throw a curveball for Little League.
He was family.
Yeah. You know, Dad offered to invest with him when he wanted to open up the restaurant. But Dad never knew how he was going to afford it. I mean, he was just a super for some of Dad's buildings. He wouldn't even take Dad's money.
Do you know if he got a loan from a bank?
No, I don't know. Why?
Well, I was talking to Eugene earlier, and he seemed off. I found out that he had been a security guard at the Steiner building in 1995 during the construction. When I asked him about it, he lied to me. So when I was asking him about that, and I asked him about Jerry, he started acting really strange. And then he followed me to the Steiner building. It was like he was trying to tell me something.
Then this happened.
Okay, what are you thinking?
That Eugene isn't Eugene. That we don't really know who he is. And maybe we should tell someone.
Later, sitting on Hannah's couch at home, Mike holds her close.
I don't know what happened. Eugene just sort of yelled my name, and then the next thing I know, he was pushing me out of the way.
Well, I hope he wakes up soon so I can thank him for saving your life.
I hope he wakes up soon, too.
I had deputies seal off the Steiner again until we know what caused the collapse, so...
I won't go back in there. Promise.
The next day, Hannah drives with Michelle.
I just think it's strange. Jerry dies, and all of a sudden, Julianne has enough money to open up her own spa while she's working at a mini-mart.
I think the word spa is doing a lot of work there. Like, maybe it's a chintzy nail parlor.
Hannah allows a slight nod as she pulls to the curb, across from the rather generic-looking nail parlor.
Well, there it is.
Michelle looks.
Oh, point taken.
Hannah spots Julianne talking to Travis Gardner.
Duck!
They both sink down.
What? It's Travis and Julianne. She was at the Steiner protest.
Michelle begins snapping photos of the testy exchange across the street.
That's very interesting.
Michelle examines the photos on her camera.
We should get out here. What? You promised me a manicure.
I'll paint them myself.
Back at the bakery, Hannah reads a text from Mike.
07734.
Mike appears behind her.
Turn it upside down.
She flips her phone as Mike gives her a kiss.
If it was a pager, it would say hello.
Hannah spins around.
Jerry's pager? You got it to work.
I got it to turn on.
Wow, look at this. So tell me, what you got?
Okay, well, she got a photo. I haven't printed it out yet. Julianne talking to Travis on the street outside of her spa. And when I talked to Travis's son, he was so quick to tell me how his dad had cleaned up his life years ago.
Well, maybe it depends on what he means by cleaned up and years ago.
Right. But he did buy a house in 1996, a year after the robbery. I mean, I'd like to know what that down payment looked like.
You mean how much of it was cash? Yeah, exactly. Although he would have been smart to sit on his share for a while, let things cool down a little bit.
Mike, that is three people around Jerry who came into a lot of money after his death that can't be explained. Travis bought a house, Julianne started her spa, and Eugene opened a restaurant.
Does the physical evidence put any of them at the scene?
Hannah points to a photo.
Well?
Of the strip of fabric they recovered at the scene. A post-it attached asks, killers? Mike writes, not Jerry's, on another post-it.
Well, that's what I mean, and then it's the killers.
All we know is that it's not Jerry's. That's it, and...
A picture of the keys.
Again.
All right, well, I put a question mark.
Mike smiles at her post-it.
Okay, speaking of the keys, did you talk to the EMS team and the construction crew?
Nobody reported missing keys.
Of course, if I was the killer, I wouldn't report the keys missing either. I would just replace them.
I did a background on the construction crew, and nobody's got any ties to Jerry's. I'm still taking one last shot at trying to get some trace evidence off those keys, though.
So, just means that Eugene...
She places his photo front and center.
He's the only wild card.
The pager. That's what I wanted to tell you. The pager stored the last four numbers that called it. Three of those numbers were disconnected. The last one was Eugene's, his landline. He paged Jerry the night of July 15th.
Eugene lied.
Yeah. About a lot.
Hannah reluctantly walks over to her magnetic whiteboard on the back wall of the kitchen. She posts Eugene's picture next to photos of Julianne and Travis at the rally. Later, Hannah finds Norman in the customer area of the bakery, looking over paperwork.
Hey, so, what's the verdict?
Even if Eugene had a second job, there is no way he could afford the restaurant.
Well, if he'd been using a false identity, there's no way he'd get a loan from the bank either.
You're right. So who is he? I gotta run. I have to feed Eugene's cat before my afternoon appointments.
You have access to his house?
Yeah, it's a garage door opener.
As Hannah gives Norman a questioning look, his eyes go wide.
Oh, no,
Absolutely not.
Later, Hannah stands with Norman as he opens Eugene's garage. Inside, they enter the kitchen where Hannah finds a half-eaten muffin.
Yeah, store-bought.
They begin exploring the garage and the inside of the house.
Hatches.
Norman, let's look first, and then you can feed the cat.
Okay, well, I do have to feed the cat.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely do it.
In the garage, Hannah checks drawers while inside, Norman tries to coax the cat to come for food. They also inspect drawers in the kitchen and dining areas. Norman makes a meowing sound.
Meow!
While Hannah searches Eugene's home office, Norman searches for the cat.
Patches.
Tucked under Eugene's desk drawer, Hannah discovers a concealed cigar box.
Norman! Norman, I found it. This is it.
She rushes to the kitchen.
Found it under his desk.
They read a news clipping about a young female graduate and a memorial program for a man named Chandler Meacham.
Oh my gosh. Under this newspaper clipping, no ID on the paper, but Hickman High School.
Can't be that many of those.
No.
Look at those skinny kids, so young.
A snapshot.
Do you think that's Eugene?
I think it is.
Oh, a birthday card to my favorite uncle. Well, Natalie, does any of this make sense to you?
No. No, it doesn't, but it will.
Out on the driveway, as Norman closes the garage, someone is watching. Outside Mike's office, the sheriff throws down evidence bags on the counter.
What has she found, Kingston?
My fiance is staying out of any active investigation.
She's running around like some podcaster interviewing people?
Julianne talked to Hannah. She wouldn't talk to us. I'm telling you right now, she gets results.
If she gets results, then we should know about it. Write it up for me. Is there enough to charge?
No, not yet.
Then stick with the sabotage. That's the case we can make. And if that gets you Jerry's killer, we'll take it.
Mike gives his boss a solemn look. Later, it's dark as Mike walks Hannah to her door.
You really do love this detective stuff, don't you?
When you're the one putting it all together, it's hard to let it rest, you know?
I do. But you're not going to hang up your oven mitts, are you?
No, I love the cookie jar.
But?
Hey, when does it burn out?
The porch light.
Can you?
Yeah.
Mike can't quite reach it.
Oh. Well, here.
She pulls up a chair.
All right, you're going to get up there?
Yeah. Hannah reaches up.
Wait.
What?
Step down.
Okay.
As Hannah steps back down, Mike grabs an umbrella stashed near the front door.
Mike.
He points the umbrella towards the light fixture, looking away as he makes contact. Electricity arcs around the light.
Mike.
Are you okay?
What was that?
I got a unit on the way. They're going to dust for fingerprints and see if any of your neighbors have security footage.
Hannah freezes.
What?
She stares at Mike.
Hannah, what is it?
When I went to see Travis, he was working on the wiring of his boat.
You and Michelle cannot stay here, okay? Don't even try.
No, I'm not going to argue. We'll go to a hotel.
No, I was thinking about someplace with a serious alarm system, maybe even a moat.
I do know just the place.
At her home, Dolores sets the alarm before joining Hannah and Michelle in the living room.
All right. Now tell me about this art project of yours. It's evidence, Mother. Of bad taste. That is cheap polyester. Should have known to ask her sooner.
With all things fashion.
That was a woman on a budget. Why do you say woman? Well, look at the sheen. Almost a teal black. It's definitely from a woman's pair of pants.
Oh, in the 90s, men wore those hammer pants. Bright red, peacock teal, plum paisley.
We all did, honey.
Dolores sips red wine.
So they could have been men's pants, but if they were women's...
Julianne?
I mean, maybe she and Travis were working together?
You know, Jerry's mom always thought Julianne was having an affair back in the day.
Ooh, and who is Julianne?
So many questions. We need intel, but she'd see me coming.
We need someone she'd never suspect.
Hannah shares a conspiratorial look with her sister, then turns to Dolores.
Mother.
Hmm.
Can I treat you to a manicure?
Oh.
Dolores adopts a devious expression.
You need me to go undercover?
Early the next morning, it is still dark as Mike slumbers, resting his hand on the cookie jar counter, his leather jacket serving as his pillow. The bakery lies devoid of customers as Hannah emerges from the kitchen, carrying a tray of freshly baked cookies. Smiling warmly, she leans over to give Mike a gentle kiss.
Looks like my bodyguard can't handle baker's hours, huh? You want some coffee?
Yes, please.
Mike, you don't have to do this. The bakery has that fancy alarm system, remember?
Taking his cup gratefully, Mike dunks his cookie.
Mike, you know what's bugging me?
That sounds like a trick question.
I mean about the case.
Shocker.
Seriously, they seem like three decent people who have lived good lives for the last 25 years, at least. Am I bringing up memories when they don't deserve it?
Not if one of them's a killer.
Feels like I'm spinning in circles around all three of them. What if it's someone else entirely? What if I'm missing something?
Then you just step back and look at it from another angle.
Hannah takes a sip from her coffee. Later, she prepares more cookies in the kitchen.
Another angle.
Lisa rolls a cart loaded with bread.
A new angle. Hey, Lisa, can I get the keys to the cookie jar van back?
Of course.
You know what? I'm going to do the morning deliveries, and then I'm going to go to WKXN. So I'm going to be gone for most of the morning.
What's a WKXN?
A different angle.
Lisa pulls out a cluttered keyring.
Whoa, your purse must weigh a ton. How many sets do you have?
Well, the house, Herb's business, cookie jar, my truck, Herb's van, summer cabin. Oh, cookie jar van.
Oh, thank you.
At Dolores' house.
But Eugene was there. I don't see him anywhere.
He got there late, so he's not in the footage, but he was there.
And that's Travis's son, Joe, right
there.
Girls. Couldn't you wait till I had my coffee? Sorry, Mother, but I bribed a PA at WKXN, and I got the raw footage from the Steiner protest.
Oh, girls. Cool.
I realize I need to start with the explosion and the protest and work backwards. All three of our suspects were at the rally. Why?
Civic duty or panic?
Panic. Exactly. The killer knew that the Steiner building was coming down. They would realize that Jerry's body was going to be exposed, and along with it, probably evidence that would incriminate them.
Unless I could pulverize him first.
Oh, you are my most gruesome child. But she's probably right.
As Michelle rolls the footage, they spot Julianne and Travis arriving at the rally.
Oh, my. Julianne and Travis together? That's Julianne.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they coming from?
From the back of the building. I mean, there's an alley entrance around that corner.
You think they were in the building together?
Why would they be? Well, if they wanted to make sure no one had found the body they buried.
That'd be a good reason. And then they blend into the crowd.
Mm. Except, not really. Just don't buy that Julianne set off that explosion by herself.
But maybe she had a boyfriend who could.
Bad fashion and bad romance.
I can spot both from a mile away.
I will get your answers today at the spa, Hannah. And I will pick out the palette for your bridesmaids' manicures, too.
If she's actually enjoying this,
should we be worried?
Mm-hmm. Ah!
Sometime later, Dolores meets Julianne at the Allure Day Spa.
Hello. Hello.
I am desperate for a manicure, but I don't have much time.
Oh, no. You know what? My girls are all booked for the next 3 hours.
But I heard you're the best. Are you sure you can't squeeze me in?
All right, then.
Is there another business that you could recommend?
All right, come on. Over here, sit. Have a seat.
Thank you. My nails are a mess.
I will take care of you. Don't you worry.
I've been cleaning out a closet that I swear is the aisle of bad fashion choices. It's like, what are those cards? Awkward family photos.
So embarrassing.
Oh, please, there are no words.
Meanwhile, at Mike's office.
Definitely a possibility.
At least. Julianne goes around saying that she doesn't want to have anything to do with her past, and then I see her talking to Travis outside of her spa. And she basically came out of nowhere at that rally with him, and he knows his way around construction.
Okay. Hannah, maybe we go to Ealing with this.
No, he already said there's not enough evidence. We're only taking it to him when I have the entire case sewn up.
Biting his lip, Mike just nods. At Julianne's spa.
I had hammer pants. Bright red.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would not have guessed that was your style, but I am sure that you were still the hottest thing in the club.
Well, I'm sure that you were much more tasteful.
Well, I did stick to black, but they were shiny parachute pants. So many zippers.
As Dolores soaks her nails, her phone vibrates.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine.
Supposed to be at work.
A text from Hannah reads, Go carefully and get out ASAP. Julianne looks up at Dolores.
Is everything okay? Yes.
Filled with trepidation, Dolores watches as Julianne reaches into a drawer, producing a small pair of clippers. Julianne moves to take Dolores' hand.
Actually, that wasn't work. I've gotten myself into a tricky situation. Romantically. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we have all been there, Dolores, and this table is the vault. Nothing you say will leave here. My husband's business partner. You know, you would be shocked how many times I've heard that.
At a loss for words, Dolores just nods. Outside on the phone.
Well, she didn't admit to anything, but I could tell. Ms. Julianne definitely knows her way around an affair.
So did you get any proof?
She owned a pair of shoe pants. Ha!
Oh, I could break her on the stand. That is not how any of this works.
So?
What's my next assignment?
Nothing, just come home. Don't hang around there.
I've got to go get my nails fixed, Hannah. This color is horrid. The sacrifices I'm making for this investigation.
Back at the bakery.
My mother is out of control.
Holding his freshly filled coffee cup, Norman gives Lisa a smile as she makes a hasty exit for the kitchen. Later.
Michelle was just at the bistro, and she said the rumor is that they're going to bring Eugene out of the coma soon.
Wow. Well, one way or another, that man is going to wake up to a very different world.
How do you mean?
Check this out.
His phone.
Chandler Meacham lived in Belden, Wisconsin. I got an address on the house, did a search on it. It's still owned by his daughter, Natalie Meacham.
The birthday card?
Yeah. Eugene's her uncle.
You should call her.
Elsewhere.
Now, the phone company came through. I pulled the lens on the last phone numbers to call Jerry McDowell's pager. One was Vera McDowell. One was Travis Gardner. The other was the Pierre Salon. I think that's the wife. She and Travis were in touch a lot.
Behind Jerry's back?
Could be.
Anything to narrow this down?
Well, Vera was the only one to call after midnight on July 15th.
So she didn't know about Jerry's death, but what about the other two?
Could have.
Is there enough circumstantial evidence to make up for the forensics?
No, not yet.
All right, stay on it. And Mike, keep Hannah on a short leash.
Elsewhere, Norman leads a young woman with raven hair into Eugene's hospital room.
So, your Uncle Eugene is,
Alex. Not Eugene. He's my Uncle Ellis. He ran off when I was a kid, the year after my mother died.
Well, why did he do that?
He was drunk and had an accident, a hit and run. He abandoned his car, left town, and nobody heard from him again.
You must have been so young when that happened. How did you know all that?
There was an article about it in my father's papers after he passed. It was an open and shut case. The whiskey was all over the floor of Ellis's car. It broke my father's heart when Ellis disappeared.
Natalie, that accident could not have been Eugene's fault. He's horribly allergic to rye. He couldn't handle a drop of whiskey.
Never mind a whole bottle. Something else happened that night. But only Ellis can fill in the blanks for us.
But he's in a coma.
He's been medically induced. And if you'd be willing to stick around for a little while, the doctors are going to bring him out of it soon. Having an uncle could come in handy.
And the Eugene I know, he'd make a pretty great one.
Natalie gazes at her uncle. Later, Mike and Hannah enjoy a picnic on a park bench by the water.
Do you think she'll give Eugene a chance?
I don't know. I hope so.
Where's Norman? I gotta buy that guy a beer after all that.
He stayed at the hospital. He just wants to be there when Eugene wakes up so he can talk to him.
Hey. Listen. I think it's time to step back from this.
What? I haven't nailed it down yet. And we're close, though. We're really close.
But it can't go on like this.
Why not? I mean, it hasn't been that long, and that's a cold case, right? Look, Mike, I really think I can solve this.
You got the same three suspects, and nothing puts one ahead of the other.
No. But maybe I should just go over it all again, you know?
Wait, you're leaving?
Pulling out her keys, Hannah pauses.
Why didn't I think of this before?
Maybe because it's a terrible idea. What are you talking about?
Cinderella, I know exactly how to figure out who the killer is, and I just need your help.
Moments later, Hannah pulls her SUV up the driveway of Eugene's house. Mike on her heels, Hannah heads for the front door.
Okay, so we're not going to go in. I promise. We're just going to see if the keys fit. And basically, we're just trying to find their rightful owner, right?
So that's your story.
They look like house keys, don't they?
They're office keys, and one is definitely a top lock.
That's the point. Bottom line is, whoever these keys belong to is most likely the person who sabotaged the Steiner building. And they're probably also Jerry's killer.
We can't say either of those things for sure.
But that's why we're doing this. We have three suspects, and we know where they live, and we know where they work.
She tries the last key.
And we can check Eugene's house off our list. Anyway, what's the harm?
That someone wants to harm you.
Mike, I know you would never let anything happen to me.
Mike smiles gently as they head back to the car.
You're in the hospital.
In his hospital bed, as Eugene begins to wake.
Hello, Ellis.
Norman sits by his side.
Yeah, I know your name. And I've heard some stories. I don't know if I should believe them. I can't imagine how hard it must have been for you. Having to hide who you really are, always being afraid of being found out. Yet there were years where you had more time for me than my own father. So I knew that we were wrong about you. About who you really are.
Eugene, or Ellis's gaze, remains fixed on Norman. Meanwhile, Hannah tries the keys on the door at the Allure Day Spa.
Okay, we really need to discuss your embrace of the criminal life, because I'm a cop and I can't go rattling around people's doors without probable cause.
No, you're right. It's dangerous. You should wait in the car.
Wait, what?
Never mind. These keys don't work. Let's go.
Back in the hospital room.
Come on, man. You owe it to yourself and to everyone who has ever called you a friend to speak up now. Right now.
His eyes brimming with tears, Ellis looks upward.
What's going on?
My brother called me late one night. Drunk. His wife had just passed. He went out. Wrapped my car around a tree and hit someone.
Ellis's niece, Natalie, stands unseen behind the curtain near the door.
He was crazy then. He had Natalie to raise. And he couldn't go to prison. And he couldn't run. But I could. So I did. Here's my car, so cops would just assume. But I made him promise that he'd never drink again. And that he would take care of that precious little girl. I left that night. I ran north, west. Found myself a social security number.
A tearful Natalie emerges from behind the curtain.
And Eugene Crenshaw was born.
Natalie?
Broke my father's heart when you disappeared.
As Norman moves aside, Natalie takes his seat next to the bed.
He missed you. Wouldn't say a word against you. But I never understood how you could just leave like that.
Natalie,
I understand.
Everything now, Uncle Ellis. And you're not disappearing on me again.
Why didn't you just tell us that you knew Jerry McDowell? Is he the one who lent you the money for the restaurant?
No. But he knew Loan Shark, and he offered to get me a birthday present for Natalie. Jerry's supposed to meet me on the 16th, but I never heard from him. Travis dropped it off instead.
Natalie gives Uncle Ellis a big hug.
I'm sorry. Natalie, I'm so sorry.
Meanwhile, in Hannah's car.
Hannah, this is crazy.
I think I found it. Julianne's home address. Oh, that's Norman. He says Eugene's awake. It's Travis.
Hannah reaches for her seatbelt.
No, no.
We have to. It's just the last stop, Mike.
Mike begins typing a text. Send back up to... As he completes the message, he looks at Hannah with a grave expression. Darkness has fallen over Eden Lake as Hannah pulls her SUV up to Travis's house.
Hannah. I'm sure one of these keys is going to fit that top lock. No. I think we're going to...
Just stop right there.
Hey.
Travis appears, a shotgun trained on Mike and Hannah. Travis spots the key ring in Hannah's right hand.
Where did you get those keys?
They were found in the Steiner building, near where Jerry's body was found.
Travis's eyes momentarily shift towards the house before he looks back at Hannah.
No. No, that's not possible.
Would one of these keys fit that lock?
Yeah, but it's not, Look, I did my best. I was trying to make it better for us.
Police arrive.
Let's drop the gun! Drop the gun!
Mike holds his revolver. Right the sheriff and others arrive.
Step back.
Okay, you don't need those. It was me.
What were you going to say?
Travis Gardner, you're under arrest for the murder of Jerry McDowell. You have the right to remain silent.
What were you going to say?
The cannon will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. But you cannot afford an attorney. You provided for you.
I did it. I killed Jerry.
Hannah takes a step back, tilting her head with a confused look.
Take more.
An officer leads Travis to his car.
He seemed so surprised by the keys.
Yeah, he was surprised we had them.
No, he was going to say something else. He was going to say something different.
Mike, a word?
Mike joins Sheriff Ealing.
So we've got the pager, the wallet chain, and fabric for evidence. We need any pictures that the sister took. It's a good thing you kept me in the loop on this, Mike.
As Mike glances at Hannah over his shoulder, a look of profound sadness and disappointment darkens her face. As Ealing continues talking to him, Mike covers his face with his hand. The sheriff's attention shifts to the key ring, still in Hannah's hand.
Are those the keys? Tell me you haven't let them out of your sight.
I have not.
Sheriff Ealing takes the keys out of Hannah's hand.
You need my notes too?
No. I've already got Mike's status reports, but thank you, Miss Swenson. You did a good thing.
The sheriff walks away.
Sorry. You let me think we were going to the sheriff together when we had enough evidence. You were giving him status reports?
He found the evidence bag. He wanted updates. He's my boss.
And you two were just laughing about me playing detective this whole time?
No, he just couldn't have you running around doing all this unsupervised.
Unsupervised?
Okay, that was not the right word.
Has he been following us all afternoon?
Absolutely not. I sent him a message right after the text from Norman.
Sure.
Hannah, we needed help. He had a gun. Any cop would have called for backup.
Of course they would have. You think that's why I'm upset?
Please, just try to see it from my perspective, okay?
Hannah turns away.
Hey.
Don't. Mike.
Hannah slips off her engagement ring and, grabbing his hand, places it in his palm.
Just get a ride from the deputy, okay?
Hannah.
Hannah climbs into her car. Mike's head drops as he looks down at the ring in his hand, wrapping it up in a fist. The next morning, while Moisha lazily licks his paw on the chair, Hannah sits on the couch, her head resting on her hand. Hannah appears deep in thought. Sister Michelle joins her from upstairs.
Mommy told me about the fireworks last night.
It was a great show. Just all a show.
You want to tell me what happened with Mike?
Nope.
I heard Travis confessed on the spot.
Yeah.
Hannah picks up the keyring photo.
You don't buy it.
I just don't get it. I mean, about the whole point of these rubber things on the keys is that you can tell them apart, right? You'd have one color for the top lock, a different color for the bottom lock. Why are they all the same color?
Okay, well, maybe he had a set for his barn and a different set for his house. Maybe he had a bunch of different keys.
Hannah just shakes her head.
I'm gonna make us some tea.
Who has a bunch of different sets of keys?
Leaning forward, Hannah flips through the evidence photos spread across the coffee table. Pausing, she stares at a photo of Travis with son Joe and Julianne at the rally, and the photo of the strip of fabric.
10 different jobs at once.
Hannah springs to her feet. Pulling up at Travis's house, Hannah jumps out of her SUV.
Hello? Hello? Is there anyone here?
Glancing towards the dock, she spots Joe's boat, a backpack, two coolers, and trunk sitting on the dock. With the wind and rain blowing back her blonde hair, Hannah rushes down to the dock to investigate. Peering inside the boat, she spots the keys in the ignition. Using a stepping stool on the dock, she climbs into the boat and grabs the keys. Meanwhile, Joe appears, carrying a duffel bag down the ramp of the dock. He spots Hannah climbing back onto the dock.
Running is not the answer, Joe.
What are you doing here?
You told me about your boat, remember? Going on a trip?
I don't have time for this.
He begins throwing things on board, then leans into the boat wheelhouse, where he sees the ignition with no keys. Standing on the dock, Hannah dangles the keys over the water.
How'd you get involved with the Landry robbery?
What are you talking about?
You wanted to follow in your dad's footsteps?
He climbs out.
I don't have to explain anything to you.
How'd you end up at the Steiner building?
Give me the keys.
I'll give you the keys if you give me some answers.
We built good lives. And you ruined everything.
Is that why you tried to kill me?
In flashback, Joe cuts a cable as rocks fall down on her and Eugene.
Why you tried to electrocute me at my own house?
Flashback to Hannah's porch.
I wasn't trying to kill you. But I had to stop you from finding out.
That you killed Jerry.
Joe glances at the keys as Hannah extends her arm.
We got into a fight, that's all. I earned my share of that loot and Jerry wouldn't give it to me. But I didn't mean to kill him, okay? I was just an idiot kid.
You threw him down an elevator shaft. You just left him there.
Joe rushes forward, tackling her. Before Hannah can crawl away, he flips her over and locks her arms on her chest.
You should have stayed out of this. You shouldn't have come here.
Yanking the keys out of her hand, Joe walks away.
If you leave now, your dad goes to jail for the rest of his life.
Joe freezes.
You don't know, do you? He confessed. Your dad is going to spend the rest of his life in prison for what you did if you run now.
Joe turns around.
I didn't even keep the money. I left Jerry's share on Joey's porch.
Hannah exhales deeply. Sometime later, after police arrive, Mike leads Joe to Sheriff Ealing.
So your dad didn't know? He wasn't part of what happened?
No. Absolutely not.
Joe looks over at Hannah.
I've never even said it out loud until now. Look, that night scared me straight. My dad never pulled another job either.
All right, time to go.
The sheriff helps Joe into the back of the cruiser. With a remorseful look on his face, Mike walks over to Hannah.
Could have called.
I did. Called 911.
Hannah, look. You were right.
I was. I am.
So this is it. You know I was right, too.
In his office at the Lake Eden Municipal Building, Mike is putting away files as Hannah appears at his door, holding a box of cookies.
Hey.
I was just at the hospital, checking on Eugene. He's doing much better. He and Natalie have been catching up.
Oh, that's so nice.
Hannah walks slowly into the office.
So, still working there, huh?
Yeah, Joe Gardner pleaded out to manslaughter. He just told the whole story. According to Joe, Travis never even wanted him to be part of the Landry House.
Something must have gone wrong.
Yeah, Joe got dragged in, thought he deserved part of the loot, fought with Jerry. Says the killing was just an accident, he panicked. Hid the body at the bottom of the elevator shaft.
Yeah, he pretty much told me the same story on the dock.
can't imagine what he was going through. He's lived a good life for 25 years. Panicked. I mean, he was going to lose everything.
Mike stands, joining her at the window.
You read the whole thing right. Everything.
Hannah nods.
Except me.
I sort of feel I nailed that part, too.
Not if you think I don't respect you or what you can do.
You are stringing me along, Mike. You lied to me.
Stringing you along? Hannah, I was encouraging you. I was trying to help you. At the same time, I was trying to save my job. It was a tough spot.
You didn't think I could understand that? You didn't trust me to tell me.
It wasn't that. I didn't want to disappoint you.
I'm not your child or your parent. Can you be my partner?
I asked you to marry me.
That's not an answer.
Yeah, it is. Hannah, I understand that you're mad.
I'm not mad, Mike. I'm not mad.
You're disappointed.
Tearfully, Hannah nods her head.
We're both wrong. We're both right. Maybe that's why we never got around to actually planning our wedding.
No, that's because you hate any event. You don't get to cater yourself.
Fair point.
Mike gives Hannah a soft smile, which she returns before throwing her coat over her shoulder and moving to the door.
You know you can't stay mad at me for long.
Concealing a smile, Hannah walks out. Mike stays at the window, deep in thought. Sometime later, Hannah is alone in her kitchen at home, sprinkling flour on the counter.
To bake bread correctly, you have to respect each ingredient. Don't underestimate the ratio of yeast to sugar. Baking bread has always been my go-to comfort in the kitchen. When I'm unsure, simplicity helps me figure life out. Bread is only 5 ingredients. It's simple, but it's not easy. The trick is kneading the dough. You stretch it, you work it, then you stop. You have to let it rise on its own. If you respect the process, then you can end up with perfection.
Later, she enjoys bread and wine with Mom and Michelle.
To the best detective in town.
Oh, wait, do not encourage her.
Me? You were so into it.
It was good, wasn't I?
You were very into it, Mother.
You get it from me.
Opening her door, Hannah finds a large, carpeted cat tree sitting on her porch, adorned with a big red bow and a note which reads, "Moisha, it's all yours, big guy. Your own castle. See you soon. Signed, Mike." Smiling, Hannah looks up to see Mike walking to his car. Without a word, he climbs in and drives away.